Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, October 29th, 2024, right here on Connecticut Today, where I open the show talking about a controversial video posted by State Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff of Norwalk, likening former President Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. Connecticut State Republican Party Chair Ben Proto joined us with his reaction to that video. Newsmax Editor-in-Chief Chris Ruddy called in to chat about the growth of his all-news cable channel and the future in general of cable news. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio talked about who Connecticut's communists are honoring this year. And we were joined by Professor F.H. Buckley, author of The Roots of Liberalism, What Faithful Knights and the Little Match Girl Taught Us About Civil Virtue.
And you know what? It's really sad, honestly, to witness on a day-to-day basis the borderline psychosis that's now infecting the once great Democratic Party and the Democratic Party and some high-ranking members in this state. Now, I'm going to start this off giving a high sign to you folks who are in the state Senate district of Bob Duff in Norwalk. Now, some of you are Democrats. Some of you have voted for Senator Duff. He's been in office for years. He gets duly elected. I will not besmirch him that. But I thought when you're elected, you're supposed to represent everybody. In other words, I understand you run on a party platform, but I also know that it is entrusted of you or it's behoven of you to represent everybody and to try and keep, as the Democratic Party has been saying for months now, let's be civil. We always talk about being civil. Let's be civil. And even when the other side, meaning Republicans, are not civil, let's try and be civil. Okay. So I get an email that essentially tells me, hey, did you see this? And what this is, and again, you folks in Norwalk who are in Mr. Duff's Senate district, I want you to pay close attention to this. If you go to YouTube, youtube.com, and if you put in the search term Bob Duff, D-U-F-F, it takes you to a video. Now, there are two or three Bob Duffs on YouTube. It's a worldwide platform. It takes you to a video, and in the title of this video, posted by a state legislative leader, not by some wacko on the right or some nut job on the left or some, you know, right-wing guy that lives in mom's basement or some left-wing guy that lives in, you know, his mother's basement. This is Bob Duff, who gets elected over and over and over again. I'm not going to besmirch him that. I'm not. But I would think that when you are elected as a duly ordained officer of a state general assembly office, you should conduct yourself with a little more grace, maybe, and not think that you're out there to save the world. What am I talking about here? Well, what Mr. Duff has done is that he has posted a video. He's free to do that. YouTube is a worldwide site. People post goofy stuff on there, and some people put stuff on YouTube, and they become multimillionaires. What Mr. Duff has done is illustrate the psychosis that has become the state Democratic Party and Democrats all over because they are running a weak candidate. Let's face it. You may like Kamala Harris. You may think she'd make a good president. The fact of the matter is she's weak. She still hasn't done a news conference. Okay? What in hell is she so afraid of? She still will not gather in front of a group or a gaggle of reporters and say, okay, let's start with you there. Oh, Joe from the Associated Press, what's your question, Joe? Glad to see you here today. All right, let's go to ABC News over there. She won't do that because she can't, because she's weak and she's in a cocoon. So Bob Duff, a high-ranking legislative leader elected by many of you people in Norwalk, puts a video up there that here's the title of the video. Now, I can't say the second word or it would get me suspended and fired. But, a state legislator in Connecticut, a person who was supposed to be above the fray, and is a member of the party that says, oh, we just have to be better than this. Bob Duff's video is, quote, same SH, different dictator, 1939, all over again at MSG. And what did I tell you folks 3 weeks ago when we heard about this rally at MSG? I said the lefties are going to have a field day because they're going to say it's Hitler all over again. And a few people called in. They said, well, how do you know? I know, trust me. Now, Bob Duff is free to do this. I'm not telling him he can't do this. But he puts up, and I don't know where this video was from, but the illusion in the video was that Donald Trump is going after Jews. I'm not making any of this up. Tell your friends, you do it, especially if you're in Norwalk, and know that Bob Duff is your state Senate member and is the Democratic leader in the Senate. And the worst part? You can't comment on it because comments have been turned off. They are so afraid that their candidate is so weak and their policies are so abhorrent and are such a turnoff to a lot of people, they have taken at least a high-ranking legislative leader in Connecticut has taken to posting a video that basically tells half the country, hey, you're electing Adolf Hitler. I was shocked when I saw that. I was absolutely shocked that this came from a sitting member of the Connecticut General Assembly. Go to YouTube, YouTube.com, put in Bob Duff, D-U-F-F, and take a look at the video there. Now, he can have these feelings. I don't pretend to tell anyone, anywhere, anyhow, how you can feel about it. You hate Trump, you love Trump, you hate Kamala Harris, you love her, whatever, that's not the point. But isn't this the party that says, oh, we have to turn down the rhetoric? But they have this Hitler fixation. I got news for you. It ain't Trump who's fixated with Hitler. It's you Democrats out there. We've been discussing an old wow moment here among Connecticut politicians and folks who kind of do what I do for a living and what our next guest does. State Senate Democratic leader, Bob Duff, Norwalk Darien, posting a rather graphic and disturbing video on his YouTube channel, and not surprisingly, not allowing any comments there, likening Donald Trump to Hitler. And this is not coming from somebody locked in their basement. This is a high-ranking, very high-ranking state Democratic official. State Republican Party Chair Ben Proto joins us now. He wanted to weigh in on this. Ben, good afternoon. I got your the email here. When I saw that, I started reading it, and I went, huh? So I went and watched the video, and Ben, listen, I'm not going to besmirch anybody their freedom of speech here, but this, I think, goes beyond what is proper here.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Look, you know, whether you like Donald Trump, you don't like Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, the reality is that when we do things like this and when politicians do things like this, particularly so-called leaders do things like this, it sets off certain reactions. And, you know, we've already seen two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, one of which resulted in the death of a father and a husband and a firefighter and the wounding of another individual. And that was all because of just rhetoric that is like this, you know. And, you know, when you decide to use the Holocaust, which, as you know, the Anti-Defamation League has condemned the use of Holocaust imagery in political advertising and political messaging. You denigrate and minimize what that part of our history was about. And it, you know, denigrates and minimizes those who suffered and died and those who continue to suffer from the effects of the Holocaust. And again, you know, whether you agree with, disagree with, like, or don't like Donald Trump, to indicate that, you know, we're going to become Nazi Germany, is just a complete fabrication and an attempt at fear mongering to try to maintain power, and bringing about really violent acts, that have no place in this world. And Bob Duff owes a lot of people an apology. What I find most interesting is he uses the song The Sounds of Silence, the rendition by a group called Disturbed. And to me, it's one of the best covers of that song. Mm-hmm. What he may not know is the lead singer of Disturbed is Jewish. And I'm sure if he knew about this, he would be horrified by it, that his work is being used to really promote the Holocaust and to compare us to Nazi Germany. And, you know, it's interesting at some point, and, you know, I said this in the release at the end, you know, there was another U.S. senator who acted very similar to what Bob Duff's doing and continues to do. Excuse me. And, you know, at the end of the day, the response to his "Have you no shame, sir?" Are you this drunk on power that you will do or say or maim or minimize or malign anyone simply to maintain your power? Because that's all it is. And Bob Duff, in my opinion, is the most indecent politician in the state of Connecticut. One of the dumbest people, I think, in the state of Connecticut. How he ever became a majority leader is utterly beyond me. He proves it time and time again. Remember, this is a guy who lied about the Norwalk Police Department a few years ago, claiming he got spit on by police officers. And then, of course, not, of course, understanding that in the police station, everything is on video. And, of course, there was no video of that. He just lied about his own police department. So he's a man who can't be trusted.
Has there
a man
been,
who has,
Ben, has go ahead. The, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up.
No. Nope. Good.
Has there been any reaction from what you have put out as to the state Republican Party release from the governor's office, maybe from Nancy DiNardo, your chairman on the other side of the aisle? Has anybody said anything? Has there been any defense of this video, or are people just kind of being quiet?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Paul, back during COVID, in 2021, shortly after I became chairman, a Republican legislator compared Ned Lamont to Adolf Hitler. And I called out my own legislator on it. If you're unwilling to call out your own people when they do things like this, then you have no business ever calling out the opposition. And in this case, there have been crickets from Governor Lamont or Senator Looney or Speaker Ritter or Senator Blumenthal or Murphy or Congressman Himes from the district or anybody else. Not a word, not a peep, not saying this is bad. You know, it's interesting. They want us to call out Donald Trump when they don't like what Donald Trump says. But when one of their own does something stupid, when he minimizes and attacks an entire group of people and minimizes the horrors of what happened during the Holocaust, they just sit there, you know, like, you know, one's got their hand over their eyes, one's got their hand over their ears, mm-hmm. The other one's got the hand over the mouth.
Ben Proto, Ben, thanks. Ben, Republican Party chair, reacting to this video that, folks, you can look at, but oddly enough, rhetorically, you cannot comment on. I wonder why. Ben, thanks. Nice. Appreciate the time, Ben. Be good.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks for having me on, as always, buddy.
All right, thanks. Ben Proto there, state Republican Party chair. I've known Ben going back. We worked on during the campaign cycle back in 14 years ago in 2010. Years ago, it was, and when Newsmax, I believe, was in a magazine stage and had migrated then to a website, and then, of course, is now a major cable operation in what seems to be the vast cable news landscape. Christopher Ruddy joins us, Newsmax boss, editor-in-chief. Hey, Chris, it's Paul here in Connecticut. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Chris.
I'm
It was a long time we talked ago. And talk about the genesis of Newsmax, because you went from what, print publication, right, to website, and now, of course, the cable thing. Talk about the evolution of your brand here.
Well, I think I used to publish on papyrus, and then we went to the printing press after this guy Gutenberg came along. So I've been around for a while, maybe not as long as you, Paul, in the media business, but I've been around and started in the 90s in journalism. And we started Newsmax.com as a website, and that grew and grew and grew. And then in 2014, we launched a cable channel. Everybody said, you're crazy. Nobody's ever going to watch it. We're now the fourth highest rated cable channel. Nielsen says in the third quarter of this year, 33 million Americans tuned in to watch us. It was a huge number. Mm-hmm. We've had tremendous success across the board. Reuters Institute says there are 12 news brands that Americans are turning to, the top 12. We're one of them. Okay. Fastest growing cable news channel. So we're on all the major cable systems. And just last week, YouTube TV added us to their paid TV. So you can find Newsmax on YouTube. But we're on all the major Spectrum and Cox and DirecTV and Dish and Altice and all of those good Optimum. So check us out. We also have a streaming channel that's on Roku and Samsung Plus. It's called Newsmax 2. And so it's been an amazing thing. And President Trump comes on Newsmax a lot. We cover all of the major candidates. We're having J.D. Vance on in the town hall from Michigan tonight at 8 p.m. with our host, Rob Finnerty, one of the new hosts, who's from New England, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
So we're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, how tough is it, Chris? Oh, how tough are these negotiations to get carriage, as they say? Because if you're not available to people, no matter how good the product is, that's tough. So it's taken you years. And how tough was it to finally, and do you get to a point where all the major carriers say, okay, yeah, like all those people have it, we have to carry it. Is that how it works?
Well, you know, it starts off with a concept, and we felt like, you know, there's Fox News. They controlled half the cable news market when we started.
Yeah.
We said, you know, there should be more voices on the conservative side. Newsmax has been around for a long time, no surprises. And we've been very successful in reaching out to people online. So we felt, let's start the channel. And it took a number of years, but over time, people saw the value, and we did start building an audience. And as we got onto DirecTV and Dish and then Comcast, and one fell into another, soon we were on every major system, and now the latest YouTube TV. So we're in about 60 million cable homes, which is a big number. We're very close to overtaking CNN. We have some great hosts, Greg Kelly. Greta Van Susteren leads our nightly news, and she's one of the most famous people in cable TV.
Mm-hmm. What differentiates Chris, and we're talking to Chris Ruddy, CEO, big boss there at Newsmax, Newsmax.com, of course, Newsmax on your cable and streaming systems. What differentiates, do you think, your product, Chris, what differentiates it from Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all the other choices the news-consuming public has?
Well, I think people should just decide, like they go and they'll see our talent, and we have different talent, different people giving the news. And we think they're good news people, but they also have, they represent the values that Americans have. So I don't know if I can describe it as much as ask people to check it out and see if they like it. Because what's happened is people are checking us out and they're sticking and our ratings have been growing. When we had 22 million people watch Newsmax in the second quarter, it was up 45%. In the third quarter. So there's something they must like. But I'll give you one example.
Sure.
Like Fox News said they didn't like Donald Trump. They didn't want him. They opposed him in the 2016 election. Then recently they opposed him. They backed Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley. They're trying to stop him. They were freezing him out of events. They didn't cover a lot of his news events. Newsmax covered him. We covered all the candidates. We didn't say, we're going to go for Trump and push Trump over Ron DeSantis. We had Ron on all the time. Chris Christie, Nikki Haley. We had them all on Newsmax. We wanted everybody to speak out. And you know what? Our audience really appreciated that we were not taking sides. I think it's wrong for a cable news channel to say, especially if they're in dominant position, we've decided that we don't like Donald Trump. I just think that's wrong. You know, there's a lady that comes on Newsmax in one of our promotional videos, and she says, African American woman, she says, the thing I like about Newsmax is they let me decide. They don't tell me how to think. And
yeah.
I think that sums up Newsmax.
Chris Ruddy is the guest. Now, I see here there's a website you have, Chris, NewsmaxInvest.com, and I guess all the other cable outlets in one way or another. You know, people have vested interests if they want to in the parent companies. So you're looking to branch out with what, investors here in the new year? Oh, talk about that.
Well, you're really watching us very carefully, because that's true. We We announced, Paul, this summer we're going public, and we hope to do that in early next year, late this year, early next year. We have actually filed with the SEC to go public and do an IPO. We're hoping they get approval to the government to do that, so it's subject to their approval. And as part of that process, we're actually allowed to take early investors who buy preferred shares if they're eligible investors. Eligibility is determined by the government, not by Newsmax. So if you're not eligible, that's not our doing. But if you're interested in investing, people can buy shares now in Newsmax by going to newsmaxinvest.com, read the memorandum and all the important information and disclosures and disclaimers, and consult with their advisors. They can even make an investment using a credit card. It's that easy. Or they can request. Some people have a problem doing the online information.
Yeah.
So just request the mail documents and we'll overnight you the documents. And we have had tremendous success. We're raising up to $150 million and we will hit that number before we do our public offering. And we're going to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange. You know, when we saw the power and the success of people like Trump Media, now we're not saying we're going to be the same as that, but we are saying it shows this tremendous demand in the marketplace, we believe, for media that's giving alternative viewpoints.
And
so we encourage people to go. We have a website. It's called newsmaxinvest.com. Very simple. It's one word, newsmaxinvest.com. And it's all there. You can get information on the IPO or the shares.
News is an expensive business, Chris, especially if you want to do it right, huh? Yeah, I mean, you know, from local outlets all the way up to networks, news is a people-intensive business, right, that has costs with it, if you want to do it right.
We, you know, I'm looking at the screen right now, and President Trump is going to be in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We're covering that. We have Congressman News. I'm looking. So you have to have remote cameras. You have to have crews. You have to have journalists, and you have to check information. You know, and I think one of the things people like is we give very good information to the public, so that's why we're growing. And it is expensive, but, you know, we're actually using the money to grow not only our cable channel, our free streaming channel, our Newsmax Plus service. People can just download our app, sign up free for newsmaxplus.com, and you spell out the word plus, P-L-U-S, newsmaxplus.com. They can get our app and watch us anywhere, anytime in the world and do the free trial. So that's been an exciting area of growth for us. And who knows, maybe we'll get into radio one of these.
No, well, hey, you know, the radio's been around. It's still, it ain't going anywhere. And finally, Chris, look into the Chris Ruddy crystal ball, if you have it there on your desk. Tell me what the news landscape looks like in 10 years. What do you see there? What do you see?
Well, I think there's two Americas, and we're voting on it on Tuesday, one of censorship and control. The Gallup study showed Americans had the lowest confidence in big media in their history. I think it's the reason for that. Like, it's not just me or you. It's everybody thinks this. And so, but there could be a more vibrant opportunity. I think if Newsmax succeed, other people will say, hey, there is room and there is ability for companies like Newsmax to provide true news, honest news, real news to succeed. And that's why we're asking people that if they want to join with us and become a shareholder, they can go to newsmaxinvest.com and become and join with us.
All right, Chris Ruddy. Chris, thanks. Good to chat with you again after about 20 years. Take care, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Chris. Be good.
Well, I hope it's sooner than 20 years, Paul.
Thanks, Chris.
You're
take
the
care.
Best. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I talked with him years ago. He was in the newspaper business. He went, I think, with a magazine. Then they went online. So there you are. Brought you one of the honchos of the big cable channels. Joining us right now for her weekly hit, Megan Portfolio. She of the Hartford Portfolio blog at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, yankeeinstitute.org. Ms. Portfolio, how are you on this fine evening?
Oh, I'm doing well. And how are you doing, Paul? Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling better. Better living through chemistry, and everything's good. So, listen.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes, yes.
You're a treasure to Connecticut, and we can't have you under the weather.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Those are kind those are kind words. Now, but apparently I'm not enough of a treasure to be honored by the local communists in Connecticut. Now, I know you follow this every year in your blog. And listen, America is the land of all parties, from the far right to the far left. So apparently do they actually call themselves the communists in Connecticut now or not? I know you wrote a blog about this. What are they referred to?
And we call them a Connecticut CPUSA, yeah. Communist Party USA.
Oh, okay. So they're full commie. Okay. And who are they honoring this year, Megan?
Well, it's an election year, so I was a little disappointed because I'll be honest, it's a super fun article for me to write every year.
Yeah.
There are no lawmakers on the list this year, but the unions swept the awards. So congratulations, Big Labor.
Yeah.
You won them. Won all three awards.
And so who won what where? Who are the local Connecticut Communist Party USA members honoring here? May we know?
Well, the most, I'm going to say well-known, if you follow this kind of stuff, would be Seth Freeman, who's a professor at the Capital Community College.
Okay.
So I'm sure he's teaching many free market principles to his students. But he's also the president of, it's called the 4Cs, so it's the Community Colleges Union, and it represents the teachers and I think staff.
Okay.
And then another one, a little lesser known, Maribella Rodriguez. She's on the executive board on the Connecticut AFL-CIO, and they're one of the largest unions in the state.
Got it.
And then actually woman is not, as far as I know, she's not in a union, but she works with them and is an organizer. She was part of one of the coalitions that helped get the health care for undocumented workers passed.
All right.
And it's Teresa Quintana, and I hope I said her name correctly.
Okay.
I don't want to be who is the guy that butchered Idina Menzel at the awards? I don't want to be that person.
Oh, yeah. Now, and listen, in all seriousness, America is a land where, there's always been an active Communist Party in America, but as you say, in an election year, we didn't find, for example, our good friend who comes on the radio station a lot here in the morning, Mr. Blumenthal. Remember that a few years ago where he was honored and claimed he had no idea that this was the local Communist Party?
Well, But I actually I actually got my hands on a few of their programs from past, I think, 4 years. And so I pulled the one out from the year that he was, at the awards ceremony to hand out citations from the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
It actually clearly said on the thing, Communist Party USA. So I'm like, everyone reads the damn, I'm going to call it the playbill, but you know what I'm talking about.
The dinner program. Dinner program.
So I'm like, okay, you didn't know. Also, that same year was Senator Julie Kushner.
Yes.
Who did win an award. And it's so funny. She has been erased. So I don't know if she had her award revoked or if she asked for it to come out because she got some big pushback that year along with Blumenthal on being there. And if you look at all their programs, they have every year's winners.
Yeah.
So they have her listed.
Oh.
What was that?
No, I don't know. So you mean as in true Communist Party fashion, they used to make you a non-person in the old Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't know what happened there. Someone had forwarded me the email last week and they had all the winners on there and her name was left off. But all the other Jan Hockadel from Meriden, Senator Hockadel, she's still on there.
Okay.
Senator Winfield from New Haven, he's still proudly on there. But that was pretty interesting. And the other interesting thing was as I was thumbing through all of these old programs is all the people that buy ads in there. It's like basically every labor union in the state purchases ads for the Communist Award. And the most interesting out of all of them was Speaker of the House Matt Ritter purchased a full page ad to say congratulations to one of the honorees. And it says, State of Connecticut House of Representatives, Matthew Ritter. So I'm not sure. Hopefully I didn't pay for that with my tax dollars.
I should get the front office here at Connoisseur to put a Connecticut Today ad in there, right?
Like a Yankee Institute one.
Yeah,
in there.
Why don't you people, tell all the people at, tell Carol and all your bosses there at Yankee. Why not? Hey, how much can it be? Look at the new audience.
Maybe I'll just buy an ad and just put my picture on there.
Yes. All right. Now, and in all seriousness, what the best thing they could do is, in all seriousness, don't call yourself, you can be communist to the heart. Pick another name. Pick, I don't know, the progressive Sunshine Club or something like that. I mean, I don't think
they really need to, Paul, because, yeah. I mean, this year's ceremony marks the 105th year of their existence in
yeah.
America.
Okay.
So, I mean, they don't need to. And they have, I know I'm making light of this, but they yeah. actually do have a lot of power in New Haven.
Oh, they do?
The head of the organization, the Connecticut chapter, Joelle Fishman, she got a citation from the city.
Oh, you know, I mentioned her knowing you were coming on either today or yesterday. Is she still with us? I used to cover her when I was a street reporter in New Haven. God bless her. She's got to be up there, though, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I obviously don't agree with the politics of the yeah. Communist Party yeah. at all. But, I mean, like, the woman's still kicking around and she's still active.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish people on our side would, you know, be as active.
All right. So good for her. I mentioned her the other day. In fact, I was just kind of riffing, saying, yeah, you know, when I was a street reporter chasing these people down to New Haven, two people I used to cover, Al Mardner, I think Al passed away a few years ago, and Joelle Fishman, God bless her.
All right. She actually ran for president.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't like 300 people every 4 years run for president. We only hear about like three of them, right? So I should do this 1 year.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I want to do this. Maybe we can do a dual ticket, but I want to be president. You can be my vice.
There you go. Whatever. Just send me to the ribbon cuttings. Before we let you go, we have to, because people know you now from being on this show. The big day is 2 days away. How is...
I have some very bad news, everyone.
What?
To all of my fans. That means I have one fan. I had to take down my display because my fiance's mom has to go in for like this emergency surgery.
No.
So I'll be at a...
Oh my God.
And I didn't want to
confuse
the kids and the family. So I'm just going to... I said to make up for it, I'm just going to spend double at the Spirit Halloween store when it's 50% off the day after, just to make myself feel better for next
okay.
year.
Well, tell her all our good wishes are with her, okay? Will you do that?
I appreciate it.
All right. Megan Portfolio. Megan, thanks. We'll check next week. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Have a good week.
Okay, bye-bye. We toss around labels on this show and shows like this all the time. Left, right, conservative, liberal, uber progressive. Where are we going with all this? And what about the origins of this? Our next guest is a foundation professor at George Mason University's Scalia School of Law. He's taught in Canada. He's taught in France. He has written numerous books. You may have seen or listened to him on MSNBC's Morning Joe, CNN, C-SPAN, Radio France, NPR. He's a citizen of Canada, became a U.S. citizen, how about this, on tax day, April 15th of 2014. Name of the book is The Roots of Liberalism. Professor F.H. Buckley joins us on the program. Professor, hi, it's Paul in Connecticut. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Please call me Frank.
All right, Frank. Great to have you here on the show. So what is your thesis here? Because I did read it, and it's interesting, the fact that the liberal thinking is not really part and parcel owned by just one notch of the American electorate here. Frank, where did this all come from? Lay this out for my listeners.
Well, I wanted to say that liberalism is basically the source of everything that's noble in our culture. And yet it's viewed in, you know, with disfavor by people on the right and the left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to recover it. And I think that it's not about labels like right or left in particular. I think that if you're an American, you're necessarily a liberal in the sense that you're faithful to the ideals of the founders. So that which is not liberal is really not American in my sense. And in particular, to show it's not about labels, I mean, if liberalism means anything, it means you respect free speech. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how is that threatened today? Who are the people being canceled? Well, you know, I think it's more conservatives than anybody else. In addition, liberalism means, you know, to quote Martin Luther King, you judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So, you know, who are the people who are dividing us up by skin color these days? So, you know, it's weirdly, the conservatives, I think, have should realize they have everything to gain from realizing that they're the biggest liberals left in town.
Yeah, and Professor, I've heard this, Frank. I've heard this from you and other academics, and even those who dare say it, say, hey, a true liberal, somebody who purports to be a liberal, does not want to censor people. They want to engage, right, in voracious debate. And now, look, you're an academic. You have a great resume. Is it true that you think that a lot of this is being stifled, for example, on major college campuses? Are we heading down the wrong way there?
Well, apparently so. It doesn't happen at my school so much, but it seems to happen a lot of other places, and particularly, you know, in the last year with the war in Gaza, a lot of people get shouted down. It's really kind of uncomfortable, and it brings back bad memories. So I think it's all the more important to think about, you know, how liberalism is such an important part of being an American, and how it's really truly noble. And indeed, you know, I wrote the book to tell a lot of stories about where liberalism comes from. And what I said is, you know, it comes from, you know, all over our Western culture, mm-hmm. you know, in funny places. I talk, for example, about, you know, knights in shining armor and the code of chivalry. And the code of chivalry is a proto version of the Geneva Convention on Treatment of Prisoners of War. So, you know, there are modern beliefs about mm-hmm. what we ought to do, which where you look back where they came from, they came back. They date back centuries and centuries.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, part of the stories we talk about ourselves. I mean, when I was a kid, you had to read Pericles' funeral oration about how great Athens was. And Athens was great because basically they left people alone and didn't get in their face. Well, that, you know, that's an important part of it, too.
And you mentioned, Professor, and again, the guest is Professor Frank Buckley, The Roots of Liberalism, What Faithful Knights and the Little Match Girl Taught Us About Civil Virtue. As you alluded to a couple of seconds ago, I've heard this from people over the years, that the founding fathers and those who influenced them down through the years before they made the decision to do what they did, some of those guys were the original liberals in this country, albeit under a different set of times and rules.
Well, absolutely right, you know. So their liberalism, as restated by Lincoln, is, you know, it's who we are. And if you reject that, you're not quite American in my book.
You know, Professor, when I was in school, 40 years ago, and I went to BU, but it was interesting because I relate this all the time. You know, we had a very vibrant university speaker series. And, I mean, one week we'd have somebody from the Communist Party, USA, and then the next week in the same hall we'd have, like, somebody from the John Birch Society. And nobody went nuts. Nobody was protesting. Nobody firebombed everything. We listened. We asked questions. And then we listened to the other guy and we asked questions. And we all looked at each other and said, that's interesting. Let's go get drunk and have beer. I mean, I think we need to get back to that.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'd probably go back even further than you, and it's the same thing. And you know what it is? Part of it is a greater recognition of the need for tolerance, but
yeah.
Part of it also is the idea of just simple patriotism. I mean, if you're an American, you know, there are things you really should believe in, like the beliefs of the founders. And you know, if you go back not all that far, that's basically what everybody said. You mentioned communists. Well, you know, Earl Browder, the head of the Communist Party in the 30s, said communism is 100% Americanism. We all defined ourselves in terms of being member of a country whose traditions were necessarily liberal.
Absolutely. Professor, good luck with the book. Again, pick it up, folks. Fascinating. The Roots of Liberalism, What Faithful Knights and the Little Match Girl Taught Us About Civil Virtue. Professor Frank Buckley, the guest. Professor, thanks. Good luck down the road, and we'll chat, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. There you go.